puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
For the first Abandoned Manitoba of August, we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Well, we're heading south in a way, aren't we? What are we talking about this week?
Well, if you ask someone to name a historic Winnipeg street, they're probably going to mention Main Street or Portage Avenue. But there is another route that is, I think, arguably more important than either of those. It reaches back to the founding of Manitoba. So today, we're talking about Pembina Highway.
How historic is it? You're saying the beginnings of the province?
It could actually be argued that it goes back even further than
okay.
that. You know, it was a trail at one time, a trail to the village of Pembina in what was then Dakota Territory. And that, of course, was before Manitoba became a province. Many newcomers who were coming to the Red River settlement arrived via the United States. It was easier to come through the U.S. than to come overland through Canada. And so the Pembina Trail was vital, you know, to the success of the settlement here. Mm-hmm. But it was also the route that was taken in November 1869 by a fellow named Donald Cameron. He was a British soldier who had been sent by Canada, and, well, he was stopped at a barrier. Well, in French, known as La Barrière.
Ah.
And, of course, that barrier had been built by supporters of Louis Riel. That was, I think, one of the seminal events that ultimately gave rise to Manitoba as we know it today. That confrontation signaled local resistance to Canada's plans for the West, and it led to Manitoba becoming a province in 1870 rather than simply being folded into the Northwest Territories, which is, I think, what Canada had originally intended. In fact, if you're interested in that kind of part of Manitoba's history, there is a monument that stands right next to Pembina Highway, a little south of St. Norbert. It's a cross, a stone cross, and there's an interpretive sign. It's really quite a neat place. There's a bit of a turnoff. You can turn in and park right along the edge of Pembina Highway. So I think that gives us sort of the historical significance of Pembina. But in the early days, it wasn't a highway in the modern sense of the word. You know, it was not much more than a rudimentary trail over the Virgin Prairie. It just didn't deserve the title highway. But of course, that would change in the early 20th century as automobiles began to flourish. Pembina Highway became the northern end of something called the Pine to Palm Highway.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. That's all the way down to New Orleans, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was first promoted in the U.S. during the First World War, and its American advocates, they wanted to extend it into Canada. By 1916, there was an existing road between Winnipeg and Emerson, but A.C. Emmett, he was a prominent early motorist in Winnipeg. He declared the highway to be, and this is a direct quote, in rotten condition. And of course, he was used to the really terrible roads that were commonplace then. So if he's calling it rotten, it really must have been bad. Well, of course, there was a war raging and the government had a lot of other priorities. And so there wasn't much appetite to divert critical funds to road maintenance. The upgrades, therefore, didn't happen until 1925. But at that time, the Pembina Highway was described as, and this is another quote, Manitoba's first hard surface, all-weather national highway. And in fact, I would go further and say it was the first international highway. But even then, it was primitive by today's standards. It was just a gravel road. You know, it wouldn't be until the late 1930s that parts of it began to be paved. In fact, were some of the first highways outside of Winnipeg to have pavement. Well, jump forward to the 1950s. Most of it is paved now. And of course, travelers from all over Canada, travelers from the U.S., they're streaming north along Pembina Highway. And a new roadside innovation emerged to serve those people. Motels.
Oh, yeah. Well, there used to be a lot on Pembina, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember from my early years in the 1960s and 70s thinking that that's really all there was on Pembina Highway. So I did a count. I went through some of the old directories, and I found at least 20 motels that stood between present-day Perimeter Highway and Confusion Corner. So just in case anybody's nostalgic about them, here's a partial list. In alphabetical order. The Adams, the Aquaterra, Bobby Joe's. That seems kind of an interesting name for a motel.
Yeah.
The Eden Rock, the El Siesta. Oh, that sounds very restful. The Flamingo, the Fort Garry, the Glendon, the Green Acres, Highwayman, Montcalm, Motel 75. Another one of my favorites, Nap Ahoy! Palomino Plains, Pembina, Queen Bee, Red River, Southwind Suburban, and Townhouse. Now, of course, all of them are gone today. But speaking of accommodation, if motorists on Pembina Highway are traveling northward, you might want to just turn a little bit south of the Le Barrier Cross and visit the St. Norbert Provincial Heritage Park, because there you're going to find four historic houses.
Four?
Yeah.
Okay. What are they?
Well, each of those four houses was saved from demolition, and they were brought to this site. Two of them, the Turenne House that was built in 1871 and the Bohemier House from 1888, they've been fully restored and they appear to be in good condition. I've never been able to see inside because they're always locked up whenever I'm there, but I'm assuming they're quite nice inside too. So they're a good sort of insight to early houses in Manitoba. But I think on the flip side, more concerning for me anyway, are two houses that sit in a fenced off area near the back of the park. One is the Henderson House, built around 1854. In fact, one of the older houses that survives in Manitoba. And the name says part of its history. It was originally on Henderson Highway.
Right.
And in fact, it was named. I mean, the Henderson Highway is named for the Henderson family who lived in this house at one time. The other is the DeLorme House, and it was built in 1857. It once sat alongside the Red River near present-day St. Adolphe, and it was home to Pierre DeLorme. The name might not resonate today, but he was one of Manitoba's very first MLAs, and he was also, for a short time, one of our members of Parliament. So, you know, a significant guy. Now, both of those houses are in very poor condition. In fact, one of them arguably even isn't a house anymore. It's just a pieces of a house. Nobody seems to know when or if they will ever be restored. And that's kind of sad. I'd like to see those old houses restored, but there doesn't seem to be much appetite for that either. Well, continuing north along Pembina Highway, we reach the Fort Garry campus of the University of Manitoba, my alma mater. And there is a small mystery that stands beside the road.
I bet I can guess. The pillars.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
For as long as I can remember, I've wondered about them. Mm-hmm. There is, right next to Pembina Highway, a large, tapered concrete pillar. It's massive,
yep.
And it bears provincial shields on each of its four sides, and it's just one of many. There's several other ones on campus, too. And okay, so this is my guess. It's just a guess, is that they mark the boundaries of the original Manitoba Agricultural College, because that was what started there in 1913,
mm-hmm.
And it had moved there from its earlier much smaller campus in present-day Tuxedo on the site of the Asper Jewish campus. I've never been able to find formal confirmation for the purpose of these big pillars on the grounds of the university, so I'm hoping that maybe somebody listening can shed light on them, and if so, please let me know.
Well, I always thought that. You just pass by and you see them. That must be marking the...
Yeah, but you'd think they would have engraved them with something. You know, they would have said maybe Manitoba Agriculture. There's nothing. There's just those four shields on either on all sides, which, of course, suggests something to do with Manitoba.
Right.
But, you know, wouldn't you think they would have put something more on them as well? But
no plan on, no paper.
No, well, none that I've been able to find anyway.
Awesome.
Well, anyway, so you continue north from that pillar. You pass several places, and unfortunately, most of them are unmarked today, where some real firsts occurred in Manitoba history.
Like what?
Well, just north of the university campus, near the bridge where Pembina crosses Abenoji-Mikina, that was the site of Manitoba's first drive-in movie theater.
Oh.
It was called the Pembina Drive-In, reasonably enough. It opened on the 19th of June, 1949. That's really early for drive-in movies. And it had an open-air showing of the John Wayne cowboy movie, Red River. And you'd probably think, oh, isn't that appropriate that you'd show a movie like that in Manitoba? Well, no. It actually referred to the other Red River, the one in Texas. So in addition to Hollywood films, the drive-in also showed cartoons and newsreels before it closed in the mid-1970s. I can just remember it, going to the university, passing by the former site. It had closed a couple of years earlier, and of course, today, all gone. But another first that has occurred along Pembina Highway was Manitoba's first drive-in restaurant. Now, this one might draw a little bit of controversy because I'm not sure everybody will agree with this, but I think that a restaurant that was called the Riverside Club that opened in July 1941 was a drive-in restaurant. It was primarily an eat-in restaurant, but it also offered curbside service. You know, so in other words, if you ordered one of their specialties, a chicken dinner, it would be delivered to your vehicle by, and this is a direct quote, a selected staff of girls dressed in pretty band majorette costumes. I can just envision that. Wouldn't it be cool to have your chicken served by a drum majorette?
Interesting pick. How about abandonment? Is there any abandonment in this story today?
Yeah, there is. So sitting empty on Pembina Highway, just a little south of the intersection with McGilvery, is the former Fort Garry Municipal Hall. It was built in 1954 as the home to the administrative staff of the municipality. Of course, this was before it joined Winnipeg. So therefore, it had its own fire department, it had its own police department, and they were all housed in the same building. However, with the formation of Unicity in 72, well, the fire hall eventually was closed in 1980. It served for a while with the city of Winnipeg, but it was closed. The police station closed as recently as 2014. And, well, the last time I drove by, which was just a couple of weeks ago, the building is vacant. Its windows are boarded up. And to my knowledge, there are no plans for its redevelopment. Because there's so much redevelopment taking place on Pembina, I have to think that somebody's going to look at that and go, wow, I could do something with that site. Because there's many other changes that are taking place.
Yeah, the Pemby, yeah. The name was attributed to a hotel. The Pemby is now an apartment building.
That's right.
A brand new apartment building. They just called it the Pemby.
Well, I think and that's very appropriate. I mean, everybody, I think, has memories of the Pemby.
Yeah.
You might remember one of the beverages, Pemby Tang.
Yeah.
and there's a bunch of watering holes, we'll call them that, sort of, that have closed and have been demolished. You know, so among them, in addition to the Pembina, which closed and was demolished in 2022, there was the Montcalm. Around 2014, there's the Cambridge that just came down last year, 2025. Mm-hmm. The Fort Garry Legion, another wonderful place for a beverage, 2022. And all of these sites have seen massive residential redevelopment, and not just like a little low building. It's like five or six or more stories. So they're really changing the character, I think, of Pembina Highway to be much more residential. But there it is. I mean, there's so much we could say about Pembina Highway. And in fact, this is just scratching the surface. Fortunately, one of my friends, Wayne Chan, is working on a book, and it'll be much more thorough. He's given me all sorts of neat stories about early history of Pembina. So I would just close by saying that if any of our listeners have stories or information about Pembina Highway's history that you think Wayne might not know, well, send it to me. Send it to me by email at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca, and I'll pass them along to Wayne, and who knows, they might end up in his book.
Thanks for that. I was just thinking back to some of the stories of the Montcalm Hotel in my day.
Uh-huh. Stories. I bet you there's a real story there.
We'd have to do that off air. But yes, you are correct, sir. What's coming up for next week?
Well, I've spoken here several times about York Factory. It was once a major fur trade post of the Hudson's Bay Company on Hudson Bay. Well, I'm visiting it three times this summer.
Three
times. Twice with tour groups and once with a film crew. And so next week, I'm going to share my experiences at this incredible historic site.
Looking forward to that. Thanks, Gordon.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.